Good evening. Before we get started, I've been told that my speaker is not working well and I'm breaking up. So could you tell me if you're able to hear me? Nobody seems to be answering. You can press star 6 to unmute your phone.
I can hear you just fine. Thank you.
Okay, I'm not breaking up at all?
No, not at all.
Okay, great. Join me in the Anabakoa. Anabakoa, Gedula Chimincha, Tati Terula, Alephet Gimel, Yud Tav Tzadi, Kaberinat. Amcha sagvenu ahanora kufre shayan sintet nun na gibor dor sheyechudcha kevavat shamrem nun gimel dalet Yud Kaf Shin, the two letters for the month, the Dalet that created the planet Ma'adim, Mars, the Dalet that means poor and also door, is fulfilled by the Yud, which then creates the Dalet and the Yud together, create the He. And the hay created the constellation Taleh, the lamb. Barchem tacharem rachamei sitkatcha tamid gamlem. Betetresh, sadi tafkimo. Hasin kadosh Berov tuvcha na'el adatach Het kuf bet, tet nun ayin Yachid ge'eh lamcha p'nei Zokre kedushatach Yud gimel lamed, pei zayin kuf Shavatenu kabel Ushmatziakatenu Yodea Talumot Shinkufav Tzadi Yutaf. And the last line is dead, said in a whisper, which we consider silent. But I will say it out loud for the purposes of teaching. Baruch Shem Kivod Malchuto Leolam Vaed. I'm leaving in the mode so that if my speaker does start to act up, you should be able to let me know so we can do something about it. Before we start tonight, does anybody have any questions? We're reading in the portion of Tzav, and section 18, who lays beams of his chambers in the waters. Vayehi Noam Adonai Eloheinu Aleinu Maaseh Yadeinu Kananeh Aleinu Maaseh Yadeinu Kananehu. Rabbi Yehuda Patach Hamkarit Hamkara Bamaim Ali Yotav, the Gomer. Kudshabarifu, Kad Bara, Alma. Migoi, Maya, Apik, Le, Vesidir. Le Almaya, Ma Avad, Palag, Maya, Litrain. Pilguta, Letata, Opalguta. Le Ela, Veaved, Minaihu. Ovadin Mipalguta Tata'a Aved Vatiken Alma Da Vesider Le Al Palguta Da Viatkin Le Leela Alaihu Tahidiktiv Ki Hu Al Yamin Yisada Uvalgu Ahara Salki Leela Vitakar Be Tikrain Ilain Hahidiktiv Hamkare Hamayim Aliyotav Vigomer. Rabbi Yehuda opens the discussion with the verse, Who lays the beams of his chambers in the waters? Tehillim chapter 104. When the Holy One, blessed be He, created the world, He took it out of the water and arranged it upon water. What did He do? He divided the water into two halves, a half below and a half above, and did certain things with them. With the lower half, He made and established this world. He set it on this half and established the world above it. Hence it is written, For He has founded it upon the seas. Tehillim chapter 24. He raised the other half and paneled it with high ceilings. Hence it is also written, Who lays the beams of His chambers in the waters. One of the techniques that Zohar uses is to start a section with a verse from the portion of the week, or a verse from the prophets, or the Tehillim, or one of the other books in Tanakh. But it really, you don't understand where this verse comes from. And then the Zohar will bring a second verse, and it will also, on its surface, have no connection to the first verse. And you really have no idea where you're going with this process. And by the end of the section, the Zohar has brought you full circle, and you truly begin to understand how all of this relates to each other. V'avad Rakia ben Tiren Palgutaya Ilein Diktiv Yehi Rakia Betoch Hamayim Vegomer V'alayhu Atkin V'sider Malake Ilae Kadishe Migoy Rucha De'itgezar Mipume Diktiv Uvruach Piv Kol Tzuvaam. He made a firmament between these two halves, as it says, Let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters. Bereshit chapter 1. On them He formed and arranged supernal holy angels from His mouth's breath, as is written, and all the host of them by the breath of His mouth. Tehillim chapter 33. Uvilein atkin v'sider v'zomre tushbachte v'yoma v'itarvu v'shalchove esha v'inun gedude chayalin amrin shirata b'yoma tushbachan v'tzafra uzmiran v'ramsha chad mate lelya kuhu chaske shirata le'ela b'naihu gedudin de'esha Bishalhova Takif Kaimin Umrichim Esha de Achla Viadad Re Liatraihu. With these angels He established and arranged those who sing His praises by day. They mixed with flames of fire, these hosts of armies sing by day, praises in the morning and hymns in the evening. When night comes, they all stop singing, because other angels sing at night. At those who sing by day do not do so by night. Above them there are legions of fire of a strong flame. They smell the consuming fire and return to their places. V'it besitra acharad ditchomin Solkin ilain al ilain V'it tichoma Ila'a ut homa tata'a uv kulhu Sharon Marehon Didinin Besitra Didina Kasha Veit Begoy Sitra Ditzthoma Tata'a Shalchokan Diokdin Zikin Norin Memanan Al Dinin Dialma Leokda Lechayavaya Benura Denagde Mehahu Nahar Dinur Bekulhu Esha Vechezu Dilhom Esha Velachit Rekaimin Ben Ilae Vitatae. There are on the other side, namely with the Klipot, abysses, the one on top of the other, an upper abyss, which is Bina of the Klipot, and a lower abyss, the Malchut of the Klipot. Opponents of the side of harsh judgment abide in all of them. In the aspect of the lower abyss, there are flares that burn sparks of fire, which are in charge over decrees in the world. And they burn the wicked in the fire that is drawn from the river of fire. They are all fire, and their appearance is as scorching flames. They stand between the upper and the lower realms. V'kad tenana umad becha salik mit avran v'salkin mehahu darga v'kaimin v'shetza'a ulovada v'hahu negidu v'esha takifa denachar dinur v'ihu takif v'ila'a adar v'yatre v'kulhu mit hanyan mit nana v'mad Bicha, begin the itachnand, the itachnat, the kavle mit bercha, ilaa ukich mit chanyan, minevi inun karevin lehaka utnana, achara salik veha ukimna, the call had vechad, reuta, the kola vesalka, Le'ela de'ihu na'icha de'rucha l'kabe malka kadisha. When the smoke rises from the altar, those demons whose function is to destroy and annihilate are removed and lost from that grade, namely the lower abyss. That flow of strong fire from the river of fire, which is strong and high, goes back to its place, and all external forces enjoy the smoke from the altar, because it was established in respect to the supernal altar. This is the reason why they enjoy it. They draw the smoke near, the smoke of the portions of the sacrifices, and the fats that are consumed by night, from which the external forces are fed. Another smoke rises, as we explained. The smoke that rises from the sacrifices by day, which is meant for holiness, for the smoke feeds each and every one. Whether it pertains to holiness or to the other side, it is the goodwill of everything that rises above, since it gives pleasure to the holy king. And that's the end of the section. And it's a little esoteric. I will read the summary. Rabbi Yehuda tells us about the time that God created the world, dividing the waters into two and establishing the world upon the lower half, then making a firmament between the two halves. He says that legions of angels were established to sing praises, some in the daytime and some at night, and that the abysses on the other side were also established where the angels of destruction dwell, and where the river of fire runs. The rising smoke from the altar feeds the side of holiness and the other side as well. There are angels that were created at various times during the days of creation, and there are angels that are created by our actions today. When we do an action of a mitzvah, when we do any action, we are creating an angel. It's a metaphor, but it's also a real thing. We're creating an angel if we do the mitzvah correctly on the physical level. We've created the body of this angel. If we have the proper kavanah, then we've created the soul of this angel. If we do the mitzvah in an incorrect way, then the angel's body is incorrect. And if we do it in a rote way, without any real intention, then we've created a body with a very minimal soul. But these angels then come and testify. They come and testify on Rosh Hashanah. They come and testify as part of their process. There is no disappearance in spirituality. So with these angels we've created remain forever. When we do tshuva, we correct the angel. The angel that we built incorrectly, that lacks a leg because we didn't walk properly when we did this mitzvah, or who lacks an arm because we didn't reach out and share in the proper way. These angels are corrected by our tshuva, by our returning to Hashem, drawing closer to Hashem. But all of these angels are done, and there is basically this metaphor of the river of fire that exists in heaven. And the way an angel is changed and cleansed is to be given, dropped into the river of fire, and that is considered death for an angel. He has ended that level of consciousness, and he emerges from the river of fire at a new level of consciousness. Number 19, a fire of the altar crouches like a lion. Ha, itmar, div madbecha, solka, v'itchaze, uriel, kechezu, dechad, arye, takifa, revia, alt, tarpe, behavo, haman, hachane, kachane, v'yisrael, v'chadan, Dehavo yadin diit kabayal, Ra'ava kame malka kadisha ve'esha echara, Ila'a kadisha nachit lekabla, Esha tata'a kedain varnash azil, V'izdaza kame mere ve'chav batiyuta shelemata. We learned that when Uriel was seen upon the altar in the likeness of a mighty lion that crouches on its prey, the priests in Israel saw and were glad, for they knew that their sacrifice was welcome to the holy king. Another fire, holy and supernal, came down from above, which is the angel Uriel, against the lower fire kindled on the altar. The man would then go trembling before his master and complete his repentance. During the time of the temple, people would bring various offerings. They would bring a sin offering for something that they had done wrong, and they were doing tshuva. And they completed their tshuva with this sacrifice. And how did they know their sacrifice was accepted? Because the smoke would rise, and another fire in the shape of a lion would come down and consume the offering. Or in the shape of a dog, it would be saying, no, this is not an acceptable. Your tshuva is not complete. Eventually, because people forgot and took the whole process of the temple, they took it in a way that was not complete. They took it lackadaisically. They took it as a habit. all I have to do is go through the motions, like we do today. All we have to do is go to the synagogue and pray. Or maybe I can pray from home. But where's my passion? Where's my true desire to return to God? Where is my the essence of my desire to be close to God? So I'm going through the motions. I say the Shema twice a day. Actually, four times a day. But that's... I do all of these mitzvot. I lay tefillin. Did I think about what I was doing, or did I do it by rote? I light the candles for Shabbat. I light the candle to connect to a tzaddik. What's my consciousness? Why am I doing this action? Hashem, read the prophets, all of them were saying in various ways, Hashem doesn't want your sacrifices that are not heartfelt, that are not truly passionate about doing what the purpose of the sacrifice is for, to get closer to God. So eventually, he got tired. Not really essence, God never gets tired. But there was no reason to send the smoke down, to send the fire down, in the shape of a lion or a dog, because everything was coming down as a dog and nobody was changing. And the purpose of telling you this is not acceptable is so that you would change. The purpose of God giving any pain or suffering, and it's not God who gives it, it's the effect of our own negative action. But God doesn't want to give us pain and suffering. He only does that to tell us, wake up. It's not acceptable. You did something wrong. If you start to question, what did I do wrong, you're growing spiritually. If you start to say, why me, in the sense of, I don't deserve this. I don't understand why I'm getting it because I'm really this special person. You're missing the whole point. Amalka b'shadru le dorona b'it yashar kame amar le'avde zil v'tol doron da v'aitihu li kach amar kudshabarichu Uriel, Zeal, the Kabil, Dorona, Divnai, Makrivin, Kamai, Kamahed Vav, Mishtache, Bikola, Kama, Besimuta, Bikola, Mishtakach, Kadbach, Kahana, Levaa, the Hahu de Makriv, Karbana, Makavne, the Karva, Karbana, Kadka, Yeot, Beyehuda, Shalim. This is like a king to whom the people sent a gift, which was welcome to him. He said to his servant, go and take this gift, which they brought me. So did the Holy One, blessed be he, say to the angel Uriel, go and take the gift which my children offered me. How much joy and sweetness was in everything when the priests, the Levites, and he who brought the sacrifice were intent upon sacrificing the offering properly, in complete union. In other sections of the Zohar, it explains that there are three parts of the Jewish people. There is the Kohen, the priest, who represents the right column. And when the priest would do the sacrifice in the proper mindset, the proper kavanah, the proper actions, he was literally replacing and changing the physical world to be back in balance. But that wasn't sufficient. There was also the Levites who would sing as the sacrifices were being made. They would raise their voices in song, in joy, in truly love of Hashem. And that also helped to bring the physical world back into balance. And when the person who was bringing the sacrifice heard the song and saw the Kohen bringing his sacrifice and was contemplating his true and only tshuva, full and complete tshuva, these three actions were necessary to be together in unity to bring the world back to balance, back to the point that the action that was considered a sin is now a blessing. Tachatze ketiv v'tetze esh milifne Adonai v'tokal al hamizbeach et ha'ola v'gomer da oriel denachit v'chezu de'esha v'shal chova ad denachit l'madbecha l'kabla dorona v'itchaze ki aryeh ravreva thravia al karbana. Come and see, it is written, and there came out a fire out from before Hashem, and consumed upon the altar the burnt offering. Vayikra chapter 9. The fire is Uriel, who came down with the appearance of a scorching flame until he rested on the altar to receive the gift, the sacrifice that the person had brought. He looked like a great lion crouching on the sacrifice. The Zohar is describing what people saw in the times of the temple. The fire came down and rested over the sacrifice. But when you looked at the fire, you saw a lion. It had the shape and image of a lion. Think about what a lion actually represents. Why is the lion called the king of the jungle? What are the nature of lions? That this metaphor was used by God to teach us things. Kekad Yisrael la ishtekahu zaka'in o hahu demakriv karbana la kariv kadka ya'ut v'la itkabal karbane chavo chaman de la salik tenana be'orach meshar v'hava kam chad rucha minukvba t'tzafon v'al mimad b'cha v'chavo chaman di yukna t'chad kalba hatsifa ravia al karbana k'dein havo yad'e Dela it kabal mera'aza chahu karbana. When Israel were not found worthy, or when he who brought the sacrifice did not do so properly, and his sacrifice was not accepted, they saw the smoke rising unevenly. A certain wind from the hole of the klipot on the north came to the altar, and they saw the shape of an impudent dog crouching on the offering. They then knew that the sacrifice was not welcome, what I had spoken about earlier. And just so you all understand, I haven't read this section before, but I've learned from my teachers and in my studies and in other sections, the statement is repeated sometimes through the Zohar. And I'd read it there earlier. V'malkah k'tishadro le'horon chama. The reason the Zohar repeats itself from one section to another is the energy of those portions are similar. But for other reasons, we also, being Jewish, have short memories. Our egos get in the way of our remembering. So as our ego inflates, our memory disappears. We forget. So the Zohar brings these same concepts back to us over and over again as part of our growth, spiritual growth, so we reach a point where we don't forget this item, that we don't make those same mistakes again. Chama le malka de lav ihu kedai karva kame amar malka asiku pahu durona vechavu le lekal va de lav ihu kedai le ala kamai kach b'sha'ata de karbana itkariv vela itkabal v'ra'ava durona de kol ba Itmasar ugich havo haman diyukna de kaba ayin gimel madbecha. This is like a king to whom they sent a gift that was not worthy of being brought before him. The king said, take away that gift and give it to the dog, because it is not worthy of being brought before me. When the sacrifice is brought and it is not accepted, it is given to the dog. This is why they saw the shape of a dog on the altar. Another question we should ask ourselves is why wasn't the sacrifice accepted? The person, maybe the sacrifice was bringing wanting to bring peace into the world and bring peace into his neighborhood and peace into his home. So he would bring a sacrifice, for peace. He didn't do a sin. Why wouldn't his sacrifice be accepted? Well, why do you want peace? Do you want peace so that you can manipulate stocks? When there's no wars, it's a lot easier to manipulate what goes on in the stock market. When there's no wars, you're not really concerned about peace. Whatever your consciousness was, God knows this. And if your consciousness was not full, not complete, not truthful, then Hashem did not accept your sacrifice. And everybody saw. The Kohanim saw. The Levites saw, and you saw, and all of the people waiting in line to do their sacrifices saw. A bit embarrassing, but only if you have an ego. If you don't have an ego, then you can ask, what am I doing wrong? How do I change it so that my sacrifice becomes acceptable? You're in good company when your sacrifice isn't accepted. Remember Cain and Abel. Cain's sacrifice wasn't accepted. Tachatzi kiti v'tetze esh milifnei Adonai v'tokal al hamizbeach et ha'ola. Amar Rabbi Yehuda da Uriel, de'at chaze v'shalcho v'inta, de'esha al mibarcha kima, de'itmar ravia al karbana ukdem hedvavta, hava b'kola decha itkabal, ra'ava kima diktiv v'yera kivod Adonai el kol ha'am, Ve'ila hava erbuvya divne acharon min yoma denafku Yisrael b'mitzrayim la ishtekach ra'ava haki le'ela v'tata. Come and see, it is written, and there came a fire out from before Hashem and consumed upon the altar the burnt offering. Vayikra chapter 9. Rabbi Yehuda said, this is Uriel, who looks like a scorching flame upon the altar, as he crouches on the sacrifice, as we learned. Then all rejoiced, since it was willingly accepted, as written, and the glory of Hashem appeared to all the people. Were it not for the confusion brought by the death of Aaron's sons on that day, there would not have been, since the day they left Egypt, a greater satisfaction above and below. The Mizbeach, the altar, the Mishkan, was ordained by Aaron starting on the first of Nisan. And on that same day, his sons died for various reasons, and we generally know that story. And had they not died, had they not committed these wrong actions, this would have been a very, very high day, very day strong in positive energy. But since they died, it was much less than it should have been. The next section is called Burning of Holy Things. And it is a Reaya Nehemna, a section dealing with the faithful shepherd. It's also quite long, so I don't think we're going to start it. But it's a little early to end. So perhaps, no, there's a short section called Oil and Incense, number 21. So we'll read that. Tachatzi, Amar Ayin Gimel, Dibnei, Acharon Mitu, Bechahi Sha'ata, Ya'ut Hava Bekama, Gavnein, Hadal Adela Hava Sha'ata Dikatorit. Deha ketoret la salka, ela bezimnin diadian diktiv, vehiktir alav acharon ketoret samim, baboker baboker, veematai vehetev tivo, et hanerot vegomer veishtacha, shemen uketoret kacheda uktiv. Ha'alot acharon et hanerot bein ha'arbaim yaktirena v'gomer. Come and see. Although Aaron's sons died at that time and were not saved through the greatness of the day. That's an interesting statement. We'll come back to it. It was justified in several ways. It was not the time of incense burning, as incense is burned only at certain times, namely in the morning and in the evening, as written, and Aaron shall burn upon it sweet incense early in the morning. Shemot chapter 30. When he trims the candles, so that there will be oil and incense together. It is also written, and when Aaron lights the candles at evening, he shall burn incense. Also, Shemot chapter 30. What does it mean, the greatness of the day? Each day is a unique energy event. The actions you do that day can be exactly the same actions that you did yesterday and the day before and the day before that. But because of the nature of the energy, they will be handled and accepted and dealt with spiritually in different ways. So, Nadav and Abihu, who came and burnt a strange fire, meaning one of the explanations of that term, is that they burned the ketoret. They burned the item that would cause them to be closer to God. But they did it for the wrong reasons, the wrong consciousness. And even though the day was so powerful, because after all, it's the day that the Mishkan was initiated, all of the revelation of the Mishkan is enhanced and involved with that day. That energy could have overcome their negativity and caused them not to have to die. They would have had other punishments. They would have had other negative effects. But the fact that they died could have been overcome with the energy of the day. It's also, some days you're inclined to have a car accident, God forbid. And other days, exactly the same people, situation, distances are involved. But through the merit of that day, you don't have the accident. We don't see it all. We don't see cause and effect. Unless we're trained to, which is what is happening when we read the Zohar. Uzinin, Elaine, Itkeriv, Vela, Bazimna, Achara, Bar, Bazimna, Demotana, Shariabe, Alma, Pima, Ira, Diktiv, Vayomer, Moshe, El Acharon, Kach, Et Hamachta, Fatain, Alecha, Esh, the Gomer. Uvne acharon la karivu, v'sha'ata d'shemen, uketoret mishtache kachada. During these times, in the morning and in the evening, and not at any other time, incense is burned, except when there is a plague upon the world, when it is burned apart from regular times, as in the verse. And Moses said to Aaron, take a censer and put fire in it. Bamidbar chapter 17. Aaron's sons did not burn it when oil and incense were together, namely in the morning and the evening, which alludes to the union of Chachma and Bina. Oil being Chachma and incense being Bina. They therefore died. Had they burned the two together because the supernal union, the Sefirot, Chachma, and Bina are never really separated. There is always a flow between them. When we do something wise, but in the wrong vessel, we're doing it at the wrong time and in the wrong way. All of our actions need to be, we need to know the time. We need to know the calendar. We need to know when the Sovavim period comes in, the first time in the early in January in Capricorn. We need to know when the Omer is, starting the second night of Pesach. We need to know when the three-week period comes. We need to know when Adar comes in so that we can rejoice and enhance our happiness. We need to know the energy of each day. There are 365 days in a year, and there's 365 negative mitzvot. There is an angel connected to each mitzvah, and connected to each day, so that our actions and our consciousness of doing that mitzvah is feeding that angel, strengthening that angel when it's done properly, and weakening that angel when it's not. We need to know the energies around us. We need to strengthen our sixth sense, so that we can connect to knowing those energies. Otherwise, we are victims, that we don't see cause and effect, and what happens is circumstantial. And there is no such thing as coincidence. Circumstantial. Cause and effect is clear, even if I don't see it. The Ode dechaku sha'ata v'chaye di'avuchom v'od dalan amsivu dechavo v'chavo pagimin deman dela amsiv pagim hu v'lav hu kedai v'ishtacha birkan v'alma al yado alo la sharyan kafshin al yado le'acherim v'od Deha Kanan Ravav Hamra Havo Ugin Kach Tetetzai Esh Milifne Adonai Vitokal Otam Pagomer Deha Ketoret Haviv Hu Bikola Vechedvavta Dilanin Vitatain Uktiv Shemen Uketoret Yeshamach Lev They also forced the time to burn incense during their father's lifetime, as it was not allowed for any man to burn incense during his lifetime, Aaron's lifetime. Moreover, they were not married and were defective, for he who has not taken a wife is defective, and is not worthy that blessings would be present in the world by him, or that being drawn by him to others. We also learned that they were drunk. Therefore, and a fire went out from before Hashem and devoured them. Vayikra chapter 10. For the incense is most beloved of all the sacrifices. The joy of the upper and the lower. It is also written, oil and incense rejoice the heart. Mishle chapter 27. So which fire do you think when it came down and took the souls of Nadav and Avihu, and we have Midrashim to describe it, that the fire went into their nostril and burned their soul so that they died. Their body was intact, but their soul was gone. So which, when the fire came down, would you have seen a lion or a dog at their incense offering? I'll leave you to think about that. Late Mitzora, Ela Chachu v'itaved v'zavuta, d'chamesh damim inun d'dam nida misavin, d'inun kulhu gam tamne, v'chashem damin d'akyan v'man, d'avabar alayhu k'ilu, Albar Lal Eser De Brot De Nun Kalal Tariag De Kudin. This is again a few verses coming from the faithful shepherd, the Reaya Mehemna, Moses himself in teaching Rabbi Shimon. A man is a leper only if he was conceived during the time of menstruation, namely that his mother conceived him when she was in her days of impurity. There are five kinds of blood in the blood of the menstrual period, all of them impure. There are five kinds of blood that are pure. Whoever transgresses them is considered as if he has transgressed the Esser Dibrot, which include all of the 613 precepts. Just for the record, in the Esser Dibrot, tradition teaches us there are 620 letters, which there is a letter for each of the mitzvot, all 613, plus seven rabbinical mitzvot that were added after the receiving of the Torah by the mitzvot that made more sense. So there is a total of 620 mitzvot, not 613. And there are letters designed for you to reveal that, to connect to that. When you read the Esser Dibrot, each letter is connecting you to a mitzvah. The Shivcha Yitzhar Ihi Malya Mumin Uginda Kol Asher Bo Mum Lo Yikrav Uginda b'chachada la hava tzarich l'karva l'gabei man di'it be muma mikol mumin di'alma begin d'matronita itmar ba pulach yafa rayati umum en mach bach haki la tzarich l'karva l'gaba man di'it be mum ואוף הקהילה צריך למקרב לגבה זר וחזר לקרב יומת והיינו ממזר מום זר. מום נוגבה זר זכר וגיד מנה ואת אישה בנידת תומתה לא תקרב ועל עינון דקריבין לה כתיב בכון ויקריבו לפני אדוני אש זרה אשר לו ציבה אותם ותצא אש מלפני השם ותוקל אותם וימותו. The klipa called the maid, who is the evil inclination, is full of defects. Any man who has defects must not come near. The priest therefore must not come near he who has any of the defects in the world. Since it says of the matron, Malchut, you are all fair, my love, there is no blemish in you. Shir HaShirim, chapter 4. No one who is defective should approach her, and a stranger must not come near her, or the stranger that come near shall be put to death. Bamidbar, chapter 3. This is the secret of the bastard, the mamzer in Hebrew. The letters of mum, mem vav mem, zar, zayin resh. Literally, a strange defect, which are the male and female of the klipot. The defect being mum, the female, and the strange, zar, the male. It is for this reason that he commanded, also you shall not approach to a woman in the impurity of her menstrual flow. Vayikra, chapter 18. Of those who did come near her, namely Nadav and Abihu, it says, and offered strange, the Hebrew is zara, fire, before Hashem, which he commanded them not. And a fire went out from before Hashem and devoured them, and they died. Vayikra, chapter 10, the end of that section. On a physical level, when a woman is married and she is intimate with a man who is not her husband, and they conceive a child, that child is called a mamzer, literally a strange, zar meaning strange, and mum means defect. The 72 names of God, the 72nd name is Mem Vav Mem. It's one of the few 72 names that are Hebrew words. It's describing defects. What are defects? Anything that's in lack. A priest could not do the sacrifice if he was in defect, if he was handicapped in any way, if he wasn't a beautiful human being. Because to honor Hashem, if he was in defect physically, it's an indication there was a spiritual defect, and he therefore could not balance the physical world in the way that it must be balanced, which is why we have this whole concept of the mamzer. A child is conceived, the father is not the mother's husband, and she is married to another man. And there are very strict Orthodox regulations about how to be a momser, how to deal with a momser. Momser cannot marry except to another momser.
Okay.
All about spiritual defects, actions that took place in a previous lifetime that have to be made whole through the tikkun of being born a momser. Most secular work people say, how horrible. The sin of the mother had nothing to do with the child. Why should he be punished? But when we understand this verse, when we understand other verses dealing with the mamzerim from the Zohar, we come to understand there is a quid pro quo, measure for measure. Someone is born a mamzer to correct their actions from a previous life. And if they accept their role, their nature, their aspect with joy, then they, just by being in this world, they correct their aspect of being a momser. They correct whatever it is they did in their previous lifetime. Going to call it to a close. Tomorrow night at 10:30 Pacific time, we will have another class similar to this one. Next week, there will be a class Tuesday at 7:45 p.m. Talking about the four phases in the Sefirot. Possibly we'll do a little bit of discussion of what the ritual of the Omer is as well. Wednesday and Thursday are Seders, Sederim. We will not be holding class. And the following week, I believe again it's only a Tuesday, but I'm not sure. Actually, Tuesday night is the seventh night, so we won't be holding classes that week except for Thursday, which will be at 10:30, reading the Zohar. Before we sign off, are there any questions from today? If you're not able to talk through the get in, you can press star 6 to change your unmute your phone. Any questions? Since there's no questions, I'm wishing you all a Shabbat Shalom. Remember never to be a command. Command is an aspect of idol worship, not highly recommended. And it's necessary to understand why we use the word command so frequently in the Torah when it's not really meant to be a command. Shabbat Shalom.
Thank you.